Currently have 21 people joined, so we'll go ahead and get started. Remember, this will be an extended meeting today. We have a lot to kind of get through. So we'll go ahead and get started. Sorry. With the Farheen, taking minutes and recording the meeting, correct?
Yes, this meeting's being recorded.
Okay. The second item we'll do is do roll call. I'm Jack Murray from AT&T. Jinri, are you on? All right. David? Okay. I don't see David yet. Toshiro-san?
Yes.
Parmenti? Thank you.
Yep.
Vincent from Orange?
I'm here. Hello.
Hello. Thank you. And Vishwa from Verizon.
Hey, Jack. I'm here.
All right. Thank you. So as we're still operating with six members, we have four present.
This is David Streibel, so probably you have five.
Okay. Thank you, David, for coming. So we're up to five, so we have enough for a quorum for voting purposes. The, you know, additional TOC chairs are still, action still rests with the ORAN TSC to, you know, fill out the rest of the seats. All right, the next item on the agenda today is the minutes, approving the minutes from last week's meeting. We go to previous minutes of, it would be 5:29. There's an audio recording. We have the agenda followed by minutes of what actions that were taken and votes were taken. It's here on the website just below. So does anyone have any comments, changes, corrections to the minutes? Okay, I don't hear any. Anyone raising any issues? I'll call for a motion to accept the minutes. Was that someone making a motion?
Hi, this is Jinri. Sorry for the late.
Okay. Greetings, Jinri. With you joining, we have all six TOC members present.
Oh.
So we're just about to, we just talked about the minutes, so I was calling for a motion to accept the minutes. So I need a TOC member to make a motion to accept the minutes.
I will make the motion.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Yeah, I can second.
Thank you, Jinri. All right. All those in favor of accepting the minutes, say aye. Aye, Jack Murray.
Aye.
So I need the TOC members to speak up if they want to approve the minutes.
I don't have to say aye, right?
Aye.
If you don't want to approve the minutes, you don't have to.
I mean, I don't have to say I again, right? Because I already second.
Yes. No, it's just easier if everybody just, you know, says I for the recording.
I heard Toshira-san just now saying I already.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is Toshira-san.
Thank you. All those against say nay. Okay, we've have the minutes approved. Thank you. Let's move on and review today's agenda. We have kind of a long list of items today. Does anyone have anything they want to add to the agenda for today?
Jack, so first, how long will we have for the meeting today? 1.5 hour or 2 hours or just 1 hour?
We said last week we would use an extended period and go to 2 hours.
I'll go to 2 hours. Okay, good. And I do have one item for discussion, which is about the face-to-face agenda. I distributed the draft the day before yesterday, or probably yesterday. In my opinion, I think it's important to discuss this agenda because there is only 2 weeks to go for the meeting.
All right, let's add that under new agenda items. Does anyone have anything else?
Hi, Jack. Jack, this is Vincent.
Hi, Vincent.
I abstained from approving the previous minutes, reason being that I had to drop before the end of the call last week. I would really urge the group and ourselves to keep the timing. So it's good that we have extended to 2 hours. I think it's needed to have more time than 1 hour. 1 hour is not enough. But I really would recommend that we keep to the 2 hours.
You keep it to 2 hours, did you say?
No, that we do not go beyond the 2 hours.
Yes.
Because, our agendas are already filled with other stuff and sometimes it's not possible to stay more than the planned time.
Yes.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
We should stay within the planned time. It's unfair to people if not take votes outside of the planned time if people, want to have discussions. But certainly the meeting will close and for official business at the appropriate
part. Great, thank you.
All right.
Jack, this is Lucian. I would like to request an additional agenda item, which is, again, approval from the TOC for creation of the new repos for accepting seed code contributions.
Okay. So that's a second new item. Orhin, are you able to add them to the new agenda item?
Yes, Jack, I can.
Thank you.
Somebody's generating a lot of background noise, if they could. Okay. And then I'd like to add a new agenda item to talk about the proposing the a project list for, for release, release for discussion. We'll get into that. So those are the three items under the new agenda that we should discuss. Does anyone else have anything?
Yeah, Jake, just note from me. I will probably need to leave in 45, quarter to three. I hope I saying right. 14:45. Okay. Yeah, unfortunately.
So you'll just be here for the first 45 minutes.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Anything else? All right. Let's get started with the open items and cover them. We have a list of action items here from last week's meeting that we said we would get to first. So the first item A, the TOC will take a vote on the RIC project proposal sent by Tapio from Nokia. Is Tapio on? Yes. Do you just yes. So do you just want to review your proposal so it's fresh in everyone's mind?
So is that proposal on the mail list?
Yes, I sent it last week.
Okay. Sorry, probably it's my fault. Okay.
No, it's always questions are good to ask. But if you go ahead and review that, Tapio.
Yeah. So in brief, as you know, there's this seed code about the near real time radio intelligent control. So I made an official project proposal for the TOC approval. It would start the project basically now. It would be part of the release one. The scope would be the near real-time RAN intelligent controller together with the network information base, this NIB. It would not include anything on the sort of the E-node B or the G-node B side, or sort of it wouldn't include the radio access network as such, or it would not include anything about the ONAP except for testing purposes. There might be some simulators or things like that. Our proposal is to have Toralf Sitchi as a project technical leader for the project. And yeah, and then there was a sort of a few proposals about sort of how to run this project in practice, about sort of like creating a wiki page and separate repository for it, and have a weekly meeting and sort of have the weekly meetings be open to everybody, and have a sort of a Zoom for that, and also to have a sort of create a new wiki page under this sort of sub page under here, so people who are interested in the project would be able to see it. Then there was a question about how do we make sure that this project and the working group 3 would be synchronized. So the Toralf has sent out the proposal that there would be some kind of a synchronization meetings every now and then, like maybe once a month. And well, I guess that's a really a discussion item about how things should be synchronized.
Okay, thank you. So a couple of points here that I just wanted to make that will probably, or what should be done is there's the motion for creating the project. The motion for the PTL would be a separate action. I mean, not that we can't make a motion to approve that or not today, but they, typically you focus on creating projects and then, creating a structure for those projects. In future scenarios, once projects are established, the community or the contributors of the project establish committers, which is a specific role, and then the committers and community vote on a PTL who then kind of leads the project. But since they're in the first round, since we don't have, contributors yet and committers, the PTL or the TOC will take action to approve a nominee directly for the PTLs as we approve the project, you know, after we approve the projects to move forward with them. And then, you know, then we'll move into elections typically at the first year anniversary of the projects. So just wanted to kind of set the pace and the expectations of the different activities. So we make approved projects. It may take a little longer to agree on the PTLs and the structure, and then the projects themselves need to have meetings and get organized around what they're doing. And then they respond to the requirements team around the overall project. All right, so let me just open up the discussion. There's been a motion to create a non-real-time RIC project from Nokia. Do I have a second?
Jack, before we move to the motion, I just one thing I want to clarify. I think we kind of discussed this on the email reflector, and it is also proposed by Nokia. And like, for example, just now mentioned by Fabio, which is that we need a mechanism. For example, say once per month, synchronization meeting with Working Group 3. I just want to make this clear, because I'm just a bit careful, because this is very important for the Alliance.
Yeah, I would support Jinji on this point, noting that this is not specific to this proposal. I mean, this we will have the same thing to consider for future and other projects. So we need to have the right tools or mechanisms in place to ensure consistency between what we are doing here and what is in the Orion Alliance. Having said that, we are kicking off the work, and we have to start. We have to start somewhere. So we should be careful not to put too much barriers to what we want to do. So I think it's okay, and it's good to be able to start the work. There's been a proposal on the mailing list by Nokia for ensuring the linkage with Working Group 3 in Orion Alliance. I think this should be encouraged indeed. And we may need to consider a more global approach to this question for the future.
Yeah, I think I agree with this. I mean, in my opinion, I definitely don't want to say hinder this process. I also want to see we can kick off the project as soon as possible. So I'm not against this project. I'm not against this motion, but I just want to make this crystal clear that we must kind of like specify this mechanism in the very near future after we set this project up.
Yeah, I would like to also support the notion that Vincent said. We need to figure out not just for the RIC project, but I think for the whole software community, the way to synchronize the work with the work groups. And I think it should be a quite important topic for the Tokyo meeting, because this kind of thing needs to go back and forth, I think. And without proper lines of communications between Alliance and the software community, it could be a big issue down the line when we see the divergence, basically.
I actually set this agenda, in for the face-to-face. Yeah.
these are all good points, and I think the part of the challenge will be each project in the software community will have to, you know, work those issues because the alignment will be a little different, you know, depending on is there that's a work group that's very strongly aligned with their work, or is the work kind of spread over the work, but also that there is a lot of work in software which doesn't raise to the level of, you know, detailed specification coming out of the work group. I'll give you some examples. A lot of the non-functional requirements currently aren't, you know, in the domain of a specific work group in general, and that we have to, you know, work on the ORAN Alliance side to try to clarify which group would be responsible for some of those kinds of activities. Would it be Working Group 1? Would it be Working Group 8? What is something else needed? So, yes, that's part of this A release cycle, is trying to work these activities out. So I'd be, you know, I think it's very important that we work through that process. But I'll say that probably it's more around the requirements, the PTL, the EPIC responsibilities that, you know, most of that coordination occurs with. When you get down to the developers themselves, they tend to focus on their software task, you know, from the user story. So make them successful, we have to do our work kind of up front, and we'll talk a little bit more about, you know, how we set up that structure. All right. Anyone else have any comments?
Yeah, Jack, maybe also with the concerning the requirements, I think this is like it's connecting a few points in my mind. Basically, what we also need is like the synchronization between the requirements committee and the work groups, because the requirements committee, it's setting up the requirements for the release A, but these requirements should reflect the work going on in the work groups. So one of the things that I actually suggested to Claudio, who is co-chair of the work group 3, is to join the calls of the requirements committee, because quite a few of these requirements are touching RIC. And the RIC will be first running project in SC. So, like, we need to like create the space for the collaboration early on, possibly in this space, so that everyone like knows what's happening on all sides, basically. Yeah.
Yep. And these are all important things, you know, to work out and, you know, establish a pattern and then refine it as we go. But I think that's the intent here with pulling together the requirements committee and starting to, you know, establish that this as a pattern and see if it's the right pattern for us. We had a meeting last night. A number of people joined. There'll be another one tomorrow. So we'll continue that group's work as the primary subcommittee. I think that's also a reason why we didn't want to create too many subcommittees. I've had some discussions with a number of people about where should that coordination come from. Should it come from, you know, formally, do they have to interact with each work group? Should there be a primary work group that pulls together the end-to-end stack requirements for a particular release, and that would be the focus of the coordination? Should it be in Working Group 1, you know, as a new task group, or Working Group 8? I think these are things that we need to continue to work on. But let's anyone else have anything?
Jack, I think Fritzek. I think it may be worthwhile to put an agenda item to discuss this ORAN OSD collaboration in the ORAN face-to-face meeting also, because I'm pretty sure a lot of people would like to hear the same viewpoint.
I think that's what Jin Ri was talking about, as making sure it was on that agenda. And Jin Ri, that's a
I think
we're going to get to today.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's close the discussion.
Just one last comment, Jack.
Oh, go ahead.
I think, so this is an important discussion, and we need to find the right balance between the process versus encouraging contributions. If we have a too heavy process, it will refrain people from contributing. And indeed, this was one rationale for at least for now, limiting the number of committees or subcommittees. Because the more committees we have, then we would say the more coordination we have, and that's okay. You see. But still we need to answer the question somehow. So it's a balance we will need to find, and I think because we are in release A, we are at the starting of a process, and we should encourage the work. So for now, I think ad hoc and lightweight process is fine. We can discuss what this lightweight process should be. And it's good if it's at the agenda at next meeting. We can also consider a more structured or long-term framework, let's say, which could apply not in release A but in the future, because this question will remain not just for the first 2 months. To summarize, what I'm saying is that we should start with something simple, and this does not prevent in the future to accommodate and define something a little bit different. But as a start, let's make sure we are addressing the question, but let's at the same time keep simple.
I agree with your points. I think that's been our motive here. Keep it simple, move quickly, learn, iterate. And, you know, this is the responsibility of the TOC to, you know, to keep oversight of this process and refine it as it needs. So remember, you know, all the votes for the TOC aren't necessarily permanent. We can change a project in the future. Some projects blossom and grow. Some projects struggle and slowed. Sometimes you have to change direction. But that's the that's kind of part of the open source approach. And technology. All right. So let's go ahead and I'll call for a
Jack. This is Phil. One more question or point that I'd like to raise. I think it's obvious, but I do want to make sure that we always put it in here. When we talk about projects, you know, are really based around committers and who has the right to access a given repo. So, you know, the repos and the projects go hand in hand. One thing that I didn't see in Tapio's presentation was the explicitness of, is this going on the Apache 2 side or is this going on the ORAN Alliance license side? I think I know the answer, but I think we want to be very explicit when we do have a vote where it's going. And I would also suggest that we might want to work on a template, because Tapio has done this before. He's got a lot of great information in his presentation. But for those that come to the project that maybe haven't done this before, having a template for them to use to fill out And if they're to touch base with the requirement subcommittee, for example, as, you know, as architecture, where it would fit, or, you know, whatever the process is, I think we might want to document a little bit better process for bringing these in. And for this one in particular, be explicit on which side of the license split this project is going to reside.
Well, this raises a couple of good questions. I think we talked about it last week. Tapio, you were saying that this is an Apache 2 project, correct? Tapio?
This is Torev. I can confirm. Yes, it's an Apache.
Yeah, I was on mute. Yes, I was going to say yes. Yeah, same as the seed code. Right. Same license as the seed code.
Now, one of the subtleties here, Phil, we have to sort out is the project the determining factor as to what license, or is it the repo that's determining? So if we have an example, the RIC, and I'm just making this up, but there is some code that would be one license and some code that would be the other license. Are you implying that we should have two different projects, or can we have two different repos in the same project?
You can have two different repos in the same project, and you're right. This is a great question for the TOC, but do you want to, right? Because again, a committer on a project is a committer, and he has commit rights across all repos. Are you always going to want those same people to have access and commit rights to both sides of that license equation? From my mind, you know, the one thing I always want to be cognizant of with this project in particular is to be very, very clear with all participants when they're working on code that's, you know, under the ORAN license versus the Apache 2 license. And the more clear we can make that to everybody participating in the project, the less confusion and less chance for a mistake being made across those two lines is done. So for me, I'd see if I could do it at the project level to just increase the clarity, but it's a question for the TOC.
Right. Well, I think we're good here in this particular case, because this project, at least as it's proposed right now, is only Apache 2 license is the proposal. Okay. Any other clarifications or questions? So, like I said earlier, Phil, we're going to kind of, especially in the first round, take it incrementally in the sense of creating the project, then, you know, PTL, then committers, because we don't have the communities established, which will change, the process will change in the future as the communities get established.
Right. Well, I mean, part of Tapio's proposal has a list of committers that would have access to and commit rights to those repos at instantiation. However you want to do PTL, again, it is common that, you know, you have a list of committers, you seed the committers with people who know the code. That's the right set of people to do it. They often are the ones who immediately elect a PTL because they know themselves and they've known themselves from the seed project, and that's worked just fine in other projects. If you want TOC to have oversight of PTLs, that's fine too, if that's what the TOC wants. But the proposal does have a list of committers who will have commit rights to those repos when they're instantiated.
Yeah. Because you need to keep the seed code active and moving forward in this particular case. Not all projects are starting off with seed code, right? But this particular project does.
Right. And yeah, but anytime you create a project, you're going to have committers because they're correct. The only ones who can put code in.
Yep. All right. So let's try this again. Can I ask for a second on Tapio's proposal to create the RIC project with the current repo list and committers that he's given? We'll take a second vote. I propose taking a second vote on the PTL role separately. We'll take that up in a second. Do I have a motion to approve? From a TSC member?
Yeah, Vincent.
All right, Vincent. Thank you for making a motion. Do I have a second?
I will second David here.
Thank you, David. All right, so we'll go ahead and take a vote on creating the non-real-time RIC project. All those in favor say aye. This is Jack Murray saying aye.
This is Jenna saying aye.
This is Vishwa saying aye.
Thank you. All those against say nay. So with at least a vote of four positive and two abstaining. Oh. Go ahead. Oh,
no, Jeff, I say aye. Did you hear me?
Yeah, so you, Vincent and David.
Okay.
Oh, I said aye. Okay.
Very good. All right, so the motion carries. Congratulations, Tapio. We've approved the first project proposal.
Yeah, it's nice. Our first project.
Yes.
Nice.
Thank you.
And I thank everyone for the rich discussion. You know, it's getting these started is challenging, and getting a community together to learn and, you know, figure this process out is a big step. So this is a big step in the process. Mm-hmm. All right. So the second part of Tapio's proposal was election of the PTL. So I've separated that out from the discussion just to make sure that we give it the proper treatment and discussion. Approving a PTL, Phil was describing, there are different mechanisms. In the future, the project itself will vote the PTL, but the PTL role is very important because they are, you know, kind of the leader of the project and responsible for coordinating to the TOC on behalf of the project in most cases. And so I wanted to make sure we, you know, spend the time in making sure we treat that role with the appropriate importance that it has. I'm in favor of, in this first round, uniformly assigning the PTLs for a vote from the TOC because I think it will just simplify getting started, and it gives clear action from the TOC to those PTLs to take that leadership role. And so that's why I wanted to separate it out. Is there anyone with any comments on first, the process of separating it out in the TOC, approving the initial PTLs for projects that we approve?
I think I'm fine.
Okay. Then let's take on the task. We have a proposal that... So one of my challenges in life is I'm not very good at, I have to apologize ahead of time because I'm not very good at pronouncing written names into, so I'm, you know, horrible in this respect, so I apologize ahead. But Thoroff,
You don't. Yeah, it's almost good. Thoralf Chiki.
Thoralf Chiki. Okay, very good. I'll make a motion to accept accept the appointment of Thoralf Chiki as the PTL for the non-real time project that we
near real time.
A near real time. Correct. Near real time. I hate that we have those two names so close to each other. You know, I know they're looking at changing the name of the non-real time or something, but you know, it's a bit of a challenge at times. But yes, this is the near real time project that we've just approved. Do I have a second?
Yeah, I can second.
Thanks, Jinri. Does anyone have any questions, concerns that, you know, they'd like to ask Thorf or before we call for a vote?
I have a question to you, to Thoralf. It's just about curiosity. Where are you based?
I'm based in Espoo, Finland.
Okay, thanks.
So actually I have one comment. I mean, it'd be great if you can like share your bio on the email list so that we can know you where.
You can check from LinkedIn. I think that maybe is the easiest way.
Also, I put some stuff in the proposal.
Put some stuff on the proposal?
In the PDF file I sent a week ago about this project, I put some information about Thoralf.
Oh, okay. And sorry. Yeah, okay.
So he's been working in the co-create and well, Thoralf, you can tell more about yourself. But,
Yeah, I think it doesn't make sense to go into details, but maybe if you check the LinkedIn profile, you get some idea.
Okay. Yeah.
I sent that in the chat.
Oh, okay.
All right. So let's go ahead and I'll call for a vote. All those in favor of approving Thoralf for the PTL position on the Apache 2 project for the near real time RIC, be clear, near real time RIC from Nokia. All those in favor say aye. This is Jack Murray saying aye.
David Streibel, aye.
Vincent says aye.
Toshiro, aye.
All right, very good. All those in favor. All right, thank you. It's always a bit of a challenge because I know it's hard sometimes finding the mute. Sometimes you're on double mute if you're on a cell phone or a activity. So thank you for voting. All those against say nay. All right, with that, we have approval of Thoralf for the PTL role. Thank you, Thoralf. This is a, you know, thankless task now that we have you assigned. But we appreciate stepping forward and taking on this role. And obviously, you know, we need to establish some, again, operating methods. We look forward to working with you and the TSC in the requirements and architecture release subcommittee to continue establishing our pattern here for the A release. Thank you. All right. Big steps we're taking here with the first set of actions. All right, the B action. So, go ahead.
Sorry, probably we need to speed up. I mean, yeah. 45 minutes past that, with one action.
Yeah,
but I know this is a big one.
Yes, this is a big one. So we're gonna. That's why we need to go to 2 hours. All right. So the next action is send a reflector highlight to the ORAN community to attend the Shanghai face-to-face meeting following the Tokyo meeting. Did you send that, Jinri?
I think I've sent it. I think I actually didn't remember exactly.
Yeah,
so anyone received that?
Yes, you sent it, Jinri.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, we'll talk about the agenda further down. So that so we're done with action item B. That one went fast. All right, David, send out a poll for a color that begins with A for release A. Any update?
Haven't done it yet because on the wiki there was a basically contribution if we want to go with name of fish also for the naming. So I kind of suggest that we deal with this offline. I will send an email like who is for the names of the colors by the colors, who is for the names for the, of the fish, and then based on that I will create the poll.
Well, maybe I can suggest a shortcut. Okay. Why don't you put a poll item out for, do you pick fish and include an A name for the fish and then a color and a A name for a color so that the poll can kind of
good suggestion. Yeah.
Do both at the same time once we pick, and it'll give people an example of what kind. The only thing I will suggest is try not to pick, you know, the Latin name for fish, you know, meaning that make it something that people can easily say or color, either one, or, you know, repeat. People use this a lot. So try not to pick a very complicated name for each release. Okay. Great. So we'll see that poll this week. All right. So we're complete with C.
And Jack, I have one correction here.
Correct.
Sorry, very quick. I mean, back to my action. One correction here. I just want to make this clear. This is not like Shanghai face-to-face meeting. It is the Shanghai ORAN Symposium.
Okay.
Yeah, because face-to-face meeting is in Tokyo.
Right. I'll make the correction, Jinri.
Okay, yeah, thank you. So I have sent, right?
Okay, good.
Okay.
All right. Action item D, Lijing, make a request over the email chain about the June 5th timeline. There is interest from Intel, Radisys, Inspur, China Mobile to contribute seed code, and they will need the ORAN license in standard plain text. Now, before Lijing speaks, I think I'll give a very quick update as to where we are on the ORAN license, because that's a partial blocker here for any project that will follow the ORAN license. The ORAN legal team and OFSG team have completed their work on the current draft of the charter. So the open source charter is complete and has been complete for a while. It's using the Apache 2 license that we don't need approval on. It's already existing, and that is in place. The charter for the ORAN specification code project has now been finalized and reviewed by the ORAN legal team, and Phil, so you know, we also have run this by Scott as recent as yesterday. So he has got done a proofread and any corrections that he suggested. And then there's a charter, there is the license, and there is a contributors agreement that needs to be signed associated with that project. All three are ready for submission to the EC. Stefan from the legal ORAN legal team, it has prepared the documents, in PDF form, will be distributed and for vote for the EC tomorrow, Thursday's meeting. Jinri, I think, you know, OFSG business, we need to make sure it gets distributed to the EC members. I don't know if you've seen Stefan's email.
Yes. Yeah, he has already distributed the PDF materials that you said.
Right, yes. But I don't know if he sent it to the EC. Can you just verify?
He has sent. Yeah, sent that to EC.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Let you make sure that follow. All right. So the ORAN license isn't available yet, but we hope that after, after Thursday's meeting, it will be available. So with that backdrop, Lejean, can you give a quick update of where we are? I think there is a link here on the TOC page that gives a summary of the current seed code activity amongst the different contributors, right?
Yeah, so Jack, thanks for the note on the ORAN software license. May I make a request, which is when in the Stefan's email, he has the documents you mentioned, but from software seed code contribution perspective, can we also request a license claim text? It's just a short paragraph saying, okay, this software is under this particular license, and you can have a URL pointing to the license as well. You know, what we typically do for the Apache 2 as well. It is legal language, so I'm wondering if the ORAN legal team could help with that. Now, in terms of the seed code contribution, I was not able to make the request over email. I've been going back and forth with the contribution companies and trying to complete the information. So I will make a request later on this call with all the repos that are ready to be requested for creation. Now for the next action item, the ORAN, which you already covered, the ORAN software license. So I will provide another spreadsheet with more detailed info than this, because some of the information that just came in last night.
Okay. Any questions for Lejean?
Jack, sorry, just take you like 2 or 3 minutes. I have a very quick question, but I don't expect lengthy discussion because we really have very limited time. So back to the software license. I know there was a discussion regarding the applicable law, and I was not there last week or 2 weeks ago. And so from China Mobile perspective, I mean, original statement is the applicable law will be in the US, right? I sent an email to Stefan, kind of requesting to change it to German law. Do you happen to be on the call? And what was the discussion? I know the results, but I don't know the discussion process.
There was lots of discussion, and I'm not sure if I just paraphrase it. Is an appropriate way, because I may bias the discussion by my recollection versus, you know, the legal expert speaking. So I think the best to do would be to do this, you know, with an email question.
And okay. Let's get clarification. Okay.
I just don't, you know, on legal matters, I don't want,
I see.
I don't want to say, well, Jack said, right. And I'm working from my memory. And you know, I think there were several good discussion points about this.
It's
not it wasn't just a, let's put it here, you know? So I think we need to get the correct people to fill in. Right.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Okay. So that completes the D action. You know, we're behind on the June 5th deadline because we thought the license. Lijing, out of the project, seed code projects that are here, it doesn't say what license they'll be under. Are any of them, what license are these people planning to contribute under?
Let me pull out my spreadsheet. The Inspire license will be Apache 2. Redis is, I think they intended to use ORAN. The Intel is, they have both. And the China Mobile will be under ORAN.
Okay.
Oh, Intel has both. Okay.
Yeah, they have a seed code for both. Some are under Apache, some are under,
Right. Okay. Thank you, Lijing. All right, so that completes item D. Let's move on to E. Lijing will follow up with Phil regarding CLA. All right, so Phil, Scott Nicholas has been telling us that you have a CLA platform that we should be leveraging for the contributor agreements, particularly because this project is a bit complicated for people. And, you know, you were out, so we just kind of postponed the discussion until you got back. Are you familiar with what Scott was referring to?
Yes. Yeah, we have a tool, and certainly for the ORAN Alliance side, because it's part of the charter that there is a CLA on that side, we'll definitely be implementing it there. The TOC has the question yet to answer, I believe, on if you want to have a CLA also established for companies contributing anything to the Apache 2 side. You don't have to have it, and it's up to the TOC, really, if you want to implement a CLA on that side or not.
Okay. So we've prepared the wording, so we have the option from the legal team and from Scott. Scott also mentioned that it was optional. Like I think we've already mentioned, trying to be clear and consistent. I don't know in this case if it's better to make sure that, you know, people understand I'm signing this CLA versus that CLA. You know, sometimes when you have it in one case and not in the other, people might, that might drive some confusion. So this is an action item point that we need to, you know, discuss and decide in the TOC. Should we use a CLA? We're definitely going to use the CLA for the ORAN specification project. Do we want to do it in for the open source software community project as well? So this way you have a record that these people signed up for open source, these people signed up for the specification project, and these people signed up for both. Or do you only want to do the specification project and it's implied on the other? Any thoughts or comments?
I think I'm fine with either way.
Okay. Anyone else have any thoughts or comments? You know, I'm interested to actually maybe hear from someone like Nokia or some of the contributors. You know, do you have any preference?
Toralf, I guess that's for you.
Yeah, I'm not hearing anything. So, all right, Phil, from I don't know how many projects out there have this dual licensing strategy. I don't know if there's other precedences.
We're in new territory here.
Right. Cool. Nice.
So, you know, I guess my reaction is I would kind of following up on your thing to be clear. To me, I think it's just clearer if you do the same thing in both projects. You know, you sign this CLA or you sign that CLA versus, well, you don't really need it here, but you need it there. That may add to some, you know, confusion. So my thought process would be to put, you know, we have the language, we'll put the platform in place, we'll just do it for both, and then we have a consistent solution of people who sign for one and not the other, and people know, you know, based on their action, where they're participating and where they're not.
Yeah, man, like I said, that's a great way to go. Yep.
Okay. So, Phil, do you think we need to vote on this, or do you think this is just a consensus?
Again, for decisions like this, yeah, I mean, give the TOC the option to have an issue. So, you know, does anybody have an issue with this? And if nobody responds, you've got consensus.
Okay. Does anyone have an issue with the plan to support the CLA for both the ORAN specification project using the ORAN license and the ORAN software community using the Apache license? Will be two separate CLAs, and we will put it in the system so that companies can choose to contribute to one or the other or both. Is there any questions or concerns?
Do we have the text? What is the CLA content?
Yes, the CLA contents does exist. I'll send it out on the email list, but it's been approved by the legal team from ORAN Alliance. Stefan was published at least the ahead of the EC meeting to approve it, and Scott Nicholas from Linux Foundation has reviewed it.
Okay, I didn't remember. Thank you.
Right. Well, and Jack, that was the ORAN Alliance CLA. Do we?
Yes.
Have we sent out the Apache 2 CLA?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, there is the Apache CLA. I didn't see it.
Yes, I'll send it out.
Okay.
You know, but it's there, and it's a little confusing for the people who are part of the process at ORAN, because the latest one from Stefan was for preparing for the EC vote, which only had the specific items for them to vote on, right?
Yes.
So that's what created a little bit of confusion. The previous one had everything, and I'll go ahead and post that out, the CLA. All right. But right now the consensus is that we would put both in place. All right, let's move on.
Yes, I think.
Okay. Item F, Ritwick from AT&T. He's kind of taking the equivalent of the PTL or lead role for the requirements and software release subcommittee meetings right now till we formally hold an election. We have a document. We have been sharing it. It is available on the is it here on the subcommittee page?
It's in the requirements committee.
Yeah,
requirements
you have to page. Log in, Jack. This is an issue I opened. I opened a trouble ticket for this, but you have to be logged in to see it.
Okay. you're working. Okay. So there's requirements subcommittee, and you'll see there's a document here.
Actually, we're putting it in the contributions. If you look at the contributions, click on that on the left-hand side. Yeah. In there, you know, we will just go through different versions and keep updating it as we go along. And people can write comments here based on the version of the document that needs to be updated. It's a little easier to do it this way, I think.
Right. And then you just post that new updates are available to the email, but you don't have to attach the documents. People can go here and get them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Always try to include a link if you can. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, so you had a first meeting last night. You're going to try to hold two meetings a week during the M0 phase of this release?
That's right. Yes, the last night, 9 p.m. Eastern, there was one call. And tomorrow, again, 9 a.m. Eastern, we'll have another call. There were a few people from Intel, Casa Systems, AT&T, Samsung that were represented last night. We got some feedback. And we also are addressing those feedback. We went through the epics, the entire document. The meeting is recorded. I will send that meeting to Farheen, if you can just upload it in the meeting space.
Sure,
and no, we will repeat. We'll repeat it again tomorrow, addressing the comments that we received last night, and some comments. I'm looking at Thoraf has just sent some comments also. So Thoraf, it'll be good if you could just post your comments and feedback on the epics directly on the wiki, on the contributions under the page. I think that'll be fine.
All right. So, I've asked Ritwik to dither. To do it at two different times to make sure everyone in the community has a time in more their prime time that they can contribute. You know, obviously the evenings don't work very well, or evening Eastern Standard Time, sorry, it's always relative to the person talking, is not very good for the European community, but helps with the West Coast and some of the Asian PAC companies, and then tomorrow will be early so that this way the European entities will have a prime time opportunity to participate. You know, in this particular case, there's not a lot of voting or those kinds of actions taken in that forum. It's more pulling together a requirements document. You know, because it's the first release, we're a little behind, but we'll get into that a little bit more here further on in the meeting. One of the principles of it is to align it for it to align with the working groups. So, this is part of the effort that we're trying to establish to work better with the working groups, give them a place to funnel the conversation, gather it, and focus. The primary output of this group would be a set of requirements that we're focusing on in this release and epics, which then are broken down by the software development team into user stories for the development cycle. So focusing on the epics and the epic contributions after gathering the priorities is the focus of this activity. Are there any other questions?
Yeah, Richard, I have one question. So has any working group co-chairs from Orange Alliance attended a meeting?
No, but I think Claudio did give comments on offline. The meeting yesterday, no.
Not any working group co-chair. Okay.
Well, so... Yeah,
but is the invitation... I mean, has the invitation reached then?
I think the invitation has gone out to everybody.
Okay.
We've pushed it out to ORAN-SC, but the Euro, it was sort of not Europe friendly time, so I wouldn't have
expected
folks to join.
Right.
Okay.
But,
so
Samsung was quite. Is Samsung a co-chair of a?
Nope.
Okay. No.
I know Samsung is very active in Working Group 3, I think.
Yes.
As Working Group 2.
Yeah, so they had a lot of comments. That's why I wasn't sure if they were or not, but they were quite active on the call last night.
Great. Yeah, great.
And
generally, internally, I know from AT&T side, WG 1, 2, and 6, we have socialized this document, and we've got some feedback. So I think, it'll be good if we could just get the word out to everybody also. Yeah.
Okay.
So this is why we're trying to do this in the first release and try to establish the pattern, but it's good. And like I said, they'll meet again tomorrow and they'll have a better sense. But this is a struggle in the first cycle, because we're always behind in getting this started, but it's all good to share this information and start working through it. All right, any other questions?
Jack, I'd like to make one request. If the working group chairs and co-chairs can just make sure that they're members of the mailing list or NSC mailing list, I think that'll reach them. Otherwise, we'll have to individually go out and email them separately. If we can just mandate that, that'll be easier. Yeah.
I think some time ago, I sent an email to the whole TSC, to the working group co-chairs. I mean, introducing our software community. But I don't know. Lucian is the administrator for the mail redirector, right? Not sure how many working group co-chairs have already joined.
Okay. If you could at least repeat that invite, Jim, that would be appreciated.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Right. Any other questions here? Okay. Action, we're down to H. Send out corrections made to a release requirements document to the reflector. I assume that, this is Jung Song.
Jung Song.
Is he on team?
Jun from Samsung.
He was on last night. So I know we've captured a lot of his comments. And so I think this has been fulfilled, because he was on and he gave his corrections and input last night. So we'll continue on then. Update next meeting to 2 hours. Okay, we're well into that. That action was taken care of. So is there any old business items that we did not cover? As far as I know, we've been pretty good at trying to list the action items, but I just want to make sure that if anyone had any issues that we've not covered. Okay. The standing agenda. Well, this is where things are going to get a little more interesting going forward, as we have less, other actions. We will spend more time on the standing items, the release manager, release planning. Let's just very quickly go to that. We approved this as the release schedule for last week. Today is June 5th. We're in the middle of, the first week of M0. M0 is not going to run like traditionally we will run it for future releases, because we just did not have much prep time and we don't have the policies and procedures completely established. So M0 and cycle is going to get a bit complex, because it's going to be compressed a little bit. But normally at this time, this requirements document, we would hope, would be pretty mature at the time that we kick off M0. So when we go to the B release, when we come into M0, we're, you know, the expectation is that the requirements and software architecture has done their work through, you know, through the previous release time after we've completed M1, and they could come into M0 with a more discussed community agreed view of what that particular release is going to try to accomplish. And then this week, we focus on identifying the epics. Now that's, if you look at RITWIC's document, you'll see there's a lot of epics in there. Most of them come from the seed code projects. And so we're going to get a little compressed in M1, but we'll work through that process. So the software requirements subcommittee's job is really to identify and work with the PTLs on the epics that will go into JIRA. For those who are not familiar with JIRA, that is the system we will use to put epics, user stories, bugs, defects, and other things into to track them relative to the project. Now that we have our first project approved, Lijing, how long does it take to get a JIRA set up for a project?
I think that's reasonably quickly. Basically, you just need to create a project on the JIRA server. However, Linux Foundation may have additional linkage to other tools in the tool chain they need to set up, probably a couple of days, I would imagine.
Okay. So does anyone have any questions on the project planning right now? Eventually we have to find someone to take on this role, but I'll help continue to push it along. Lijing and I will help continue to push it along until we get a more dedicated resource. Which usually comes after we get more of the projects established. Somebody will, you know, step up to coordinate. All right, let's go back to our standing agenda. Report out from PTLs. And, you know, focusing on, you know, you'll have a bunch of projects. We're not going to get a report out from every PTL every week. So the standing agenda item is a time when we at least allow PTLs to raise any issues to the TOC that needs TOC action. If there is an issue that they need raised, that's what this window is for. If the TOC wants a report out from a particular project, then that will happen under like a new agenda item or an open agenda item where you request a project to get some significant time to do a readout to the TOC. Do people understand the difference between the two? All right. No questions or concerns, but since we're not, you know, we've only just created the one, but this is an opportunity every week for each of the PTLs to speak out. So right now we have kind of an acting one for the requirements, and we have an approved one for the non-real-time RIC. Okay, integration, test and integration planning. We haven't formed that project yet, so I'll skip over that. And then there's a report out of subcommittees right now. The requirements and software architecture release committee will do their readout as we get past the out of this M0. During M0, they get more time than the PTLs, but once we get into the project, the the projects get more time, then I think I updated and that game brought in a lot of updates. Okay, so that will focus more time on the PTL projects, but the subcommittees still get an opportunity to make sure that they're progressing towards their bigger goals. All right, that completes the standing agenda item. Does anyone have any question on that section? All right, so we're moving along. We have a little over a half an hour remaining. So let's get to the new agenda items. Jinri, you wanted to talk about the face-to-face discussion.
Yes. Yeah, can you hear me? But the thing is, I'm not with my laptop. So can anyone help to share the material that I have sent, I think the day before yesterday or yesterday? Can anyone help?
Let me see if I can. Okay, this is the draft. It's the PowerPoint.
Yes. There are two or three slides.
And then I will change my share here in a second. This is the slides.
Yes, yes, yeah. So, yes, I can see it. So can we move to the second slide?
Yes. All right, just checking. So just be sure, David dropped, like he said, he had to drop earlier, just
yes,
so
yeah.
Yeah, he put it in the chat, which is very
yes.
helpful. Okay. All right, here's the basic schedule. Go ahead.
Oh, but actually, before I get started, I mean, on this, so can I know that who will, and for the talk member, who will be there and who will not? I will be there, Toshiro-san will be there, and Jack, you will not be there, and Vincent?
I will not be there myself, but I will have someone from Orange.
Okay, who?
Christian Galar.
Oh, Christian. Okay, good.
You met him in Spain.
Yes, last time you measured. Yes. And how about Vishwa?
No, I won't be there, but there'll be someone else from Verizon on the ORAN side, probably not on the AC side.
Okay, okay. So, and how about Ritwik and Lusing?
I think KJ is the one who's KJ's traveling, right, for AT&T.
Okay, okay. I see. Okay, so...
Drew going to be there? I thought Drew was also going to be there. I could be wrong.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, but I think Drew is for Working Group 2.
Working Group 2.
And, yeah, probably like ours, I know, like Paul Smith or Paul Harman. I believe they will also be there, but they are... representing Working Group 1 and Working Group 8. So, I mean, for the talk, I believe that KJ is the one.
Right, and KJ is pretty familiar with AT&T software contributions. So,
okay, perfect.
He's knowledgeable. Yeah. And then we'll join remote.
Yeah. Okay, so from the first slide, you can see this is some logistics date. Just note that... I mean, the face-to-face meeting is actually 4 days long, but for talk meeting, we only occupy 2 days, which are on Monday and Wednesday, June 17th and the 19th. Okay. And the time, please note that there is a change on this. I mean, if you go to the ORAN Wiki or our Wiki website, I mean, if you go to our SC website, the logistics there is kind of obsolete, because a few days ago I request the change on the time for our talk meeting. So originally the schedule is to start the meeting from like 4:30 p.m. in Tokyo, which is definitely very unfriendly to you. So I have a suggestion. We will swap our meeting with Working Group 8 So, and now this is the new time, which is from the, in the morning, 8:30 to 11, it's almost noon, 12 p.m. So around 6 hours, and this is Tokyo Japanese time. So for you guys, I think it'll be like 13 hours time difference. So it's easier for you to join. Okay. And the venue, it's okay. And in my opinion, there are three purposes for this talk meeting. So this is actually our first face-to-face talk meeting. And so the first purpose is that I expect to increase the visibility of our software community. Like I said, I mean, you see, we are frequently receiving questions from working groups, and it seems that, I mean, the channels, the synchronization with NAND is not very smooth. So I would like to take this opportunity to increase our visibility and establish the connection with the working groups. Okay. Yeah. And so, okay, this covers the second purpose. And the third purpose is to finalize the software document. I mean, we need to, if I remember correctly, I think our target is to get this done by June 20th, right? So then I think this would be one of the key focuses during our face-to-face meeting. Okay. So three purposes here. So do I miss anything?
Okay. Cindy, what do you mean by the software document?
Software document means it is the architecture and requirement document currently led by Richie, right?
Okay, good.
Yeah, that one, yeah. So actually, you see there will be a TSC meeting, and if everything goes smoothly, probably we can get approval from TSC on the 21st.
Okay. Excuse me, this is Peter Munkyung from Samsung Electronics. I have a very basic question about this special session. This is only accessible for ORAN members, am I correct?
Nope.
This is open in public?
This is open, yes, this is open for everyone. But honestly, I think for a face-to-face meeting, I believe the people there are, let's say, 99% ORAN members.
Yeah, that is correct. What I want to clarify is whether or not the registration is required to access this session.
The registration for the remote access, or there is actually no registration needed.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for your clarification.
Yeah, but speaking of this, I think later on we should put up the logistics for remote access on our SC website so that everyone can join, because this is open, right?
Right. So So it's open to attend remotely. And so that's why we kind of changed the event. Farheen, can you update? So we need clarification on times, Jinri. Can you post the finalized time and date?
This is the finalized time and date.
Okay, this one here is correct. Okay.
Yes, yeah.
Right, and that's 8:30 local time in Tokyo?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so Farheen, if we can put something up on the website, use the TOC Zoom meeting information so people can join.
Sure, Jack. Got it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All
right.
13 hour time difference. So, which means that would be 7:30 EST, just for your convenience. Okay. Okay. So, move on for the next slide. The next slide, please.
Jack, can you change the slide? Jack? I think Jack is...
Uh-oh. Yeah, sorry. I forgot I had the slides. My fault. Go ahead.
Yeah, so for the agenda, I think you can see here for the like the first one, they are actually very regular. Opening by TOC co-chairs, call for scribe, quorum check. I think you are familiar with this one. And yeah, including item 5, item 6, yeah, item 7. So I put here because, so this is just my the job idea, probably can discuss here. So for item 7, the purpose here is to give an introduction on our ORAN software community to the whole audience. Okay, and so we actually done this before, if you remember, I mean, if some of you remember. So then in my thinking, probably you can divide this into two parts. So first is like we open with some introduction on the open source background. Because I mean, of course, like most of you on the call are very familiar with this open source activity. But think about ORAN Alliance. So I would like to suggest, like Lucian, I know you are very experienced on this, and previously you have also some slides already prepared. So probably you can make use of this and give the audience some introduction on the open source culture, open source, I mean, background, advantage, and something like that. And then after that, then I think the intention is to give a general introduction regarding our software community, like our TOC structure, what is our mission, and what would be our project planning, and the IPR policy, the governance, and so on. You can see this, you can read this from the slide, right? So again, just suppose that I'm an audience, I want to know about SC, so this is a good one for them to get a general idea. So, item
right,
7.
But this will be open to, how many of the other working groups do you think will be able to attend this session? Because it overlaps with some of the other working groups, correct?
Yeah, I know. But I mean that in the morning, this is in the morning, they will have, so always there are four sessions in parallel. So let's just hope that we can get the participants from the other five working groups. Yeah. But the good thing is our meeting will not conflict with working group 8 and will not conflict with working group 6 and working group 3. And currently these three working groups are kind of most closely related with us.
Right? Okay, good.
Yeah.
Can you wrap?
And def-
we move it along because we're, you know... That's good.
Can yeah.
Move on to the next slide.
Oh, no. And there's also the item 8. And I think this is very important. So I would like to invite Working Group 3 representative, their Working Group co-chairs to this meeting. And let's discuss, the relationship, the collaboration with them, you see. But probably here, I have some idea. Because this question... the motivation for this joint session actually comes from the software architecture and requirement document, right? And so for this, probably we need like Rhetoric or someone else to prepare some introduction material and so that we can discuss with Working Group 3.
So from Nokia, is there someone from Nokia going to be at this meeting?
Definitely, I believe, like Paul Stephan, I believe they will be there. Paul Stephan is the Nokia working group. He's the working group 3 co-chair from Nokia. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. So yeah. I just asked to make sure that Nokia is an, part of the reason that you're in both roles is that you can coordinate. I know, like every big company, you're probably in very different parts of the company, but, you know, I would suggest that both of you come prepared and synchronized as well.
Yes, yes.
Do that.
Yeah.
All right.
I just want to make sure that Rick can, I mean, prepare this material.
Yeah, I can prepare something. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, this is really beyond my capability. Otherwise, I would like to help. Yeah.
No problem.
Okay, thank you very much. So, next slide.
Okay.
Yeah, so then I allocated like 2 hours for this discussion on the document, the software architecture requirement document, because I think we all know that this is very critical for us, right? And then for the item 10, I think it also makes sense to have some syncup session with working group 8. So originally we have already had very close relationship with working group 8. And in the past few months, I know that in working group 8 has progressed a lot. They are about to publish their kind of software architecture. Again, it's from OCU, ODU perspective, software architecture and some API interface requirements specification. So I believe that, I mean, it makes sense to have to be synced up with them to know their progress, right? So item 10. And item 11, I think this is a good opportunity for us to invite the partners, which are the CECO contributors, to introduce these potential projects. So currently, for example, Lenovo are uploading the C code, but this is just about the C code. We have no idea how they will, I mean, they're planning on the project, what would be their thoughts on this. And so we would like to take this opportunity to know more information about them. So item 11, if this makes sense to you, then later on I will reach these companies and invite them to prepare some materials for this. Is that okay?
Okay.
Okay. And for die 12, 13, for the others, I think it's very regular, except 14, we need the TSC report because, I mean, for Friday TSC meeting, June 21st. That's it. Yeah.
Any questions or any other comments? For January? At some point, my only comment is I think at some point items like 11 will start to shift. 11's fine for this meeting, but will probably start to shift to more of a per project discussion. And these people will talk in their projects rather than their individual contributions at some point. But we need to start
here. Yes, yes, yeah.
Okay. So I'll go ahead.
And just probably one question for Rachel. I'm just not sure that 2 hours is enough for you for the document discussion or not.
Ritwick, he's asking if 2 hours is enough. I think last night we covered it in...
I think we went 1.5 hours last night, right? So... I think we can do it in an hour to hour and a half. I don't think we need like to go through every epic in every detail.
Think that's the only chance that at least for some people who will be physically there, that will be the only chance to carefully study, learn, and review and discuss this document. Yeah.
That's fine.
Also, okay, yeah.
2 hours is okay. It just what is the Eastern time for this meeting? I think Farin will update later, right? Roughly what time?
You mean the starting time in the morning session from 8:30. But
Yeah.
For the specific item, don't know. You can calculate.
It'll be about, I guess, midnight our time, right? Roughly.
Midnight? No.
Eastern time. Eastern I'm asking time. What is the time in New York?
So that time is the Japanese time, right? So 13 time difference. So starting time is 8:30. It will be 7.
Okay. Oh, okay. No problem. 7 p.m. roughly.
7:30 p.m. Yes. Oh, yeah. You scare me.
No problem.
Yeah, so it will be evening time for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Okay, perfect.
Thank you. So let's, thank you. Let's move on to new agenda item number 2. Vincent recommended that we end on schedule, so we're trying to do that. We have roughly 15 minutes remaining. Lijing, you have requests for a pool, the TOC, to accept C code contribution. Go ahead.
All right, thank you. Can I share my screen, please, so I can show the...
Go ahead.
Okay, I'll make it bigger. So here's the proposed new repos for accepting seed code contribution. The first three, they're from the INSPIR. These are related to infrastructure monitoring platform. They're proposing putting code into three repos, and here are the initial committers. The next one is from RediSys. They provided the committer names and contact. The original repo name is that's still to be worked out. I think the original name is not very suitable for this project because we do not want to put company name in the as part of the repo name. Open source projects, they often structured based on components or functions instead of contributors. So I'll work this out from them, hopefully today, later today. The next two, they are for the applications running on top of RIC platform. One is for measurement camping, another one is for machine learning applications. Some of the emails I will confirm with the proposer. The reason is people have often have a couple aliases, email aliases. I just want to make sure that we do not have the split personality in terms of our identity in the Linux Foundation. So again, hopefully this morning I'll finalize this. The next three, they are for the RIC platforms. One is for UE Manager. Another one is for configurations of RNIP. RNIP stands for Radio Network Information Base. There's a ENOB related support, and there's a UE related support. And here are the proposed committers. Now, I just want to add a note that because now we have the RIC platform as a newly formed project, normally once everything is on track, this kind of new repo proposal and committer proposal is usually moved forward by the PTL. So I'll actually talk to Sorov later to see how do we hand off this kind of work items and now as the RIC platform is a formally formed project. But anyway, so since this today, I was still on behalf of the team making this proposal. I will again send this to Farheen so she can include it in the meeting minutes. So with this, may I please make the request to the TOC for the approval that so we can make requests to Linux Foundation IT, creating those repos for accepting seed co-contribution.
So the RIC platform and RIC app, are these two treated as two separate projects?
I believe currently the plan is, today we only proved the RIC platform. Yes, for RIC application, it's like it will be formed into another project. So there's some rationale. I think when the proposal for RIC platform, RIC application, would explain the rationales behind it. So without taking more time from this meeting, I will just leave it as that, if you may.
Yes.
So the reason why I'm asking this question is my understanding is that the approval, what you're requesting right now to the talk is basically to accept the seed code contribution. And there will be a proposal phase where, like whatever we had today, there will be a motion to approve a project or not at a later point of time. Whatever approval you're asking is just to accept the seed code. Am I right?
That's correct.
Okay.
So I'm sorry, are these the committers on these repos?
Yes. So these are
that list is different than what I saw in the presentation. So you just need to know where to pull the committers from.
These are new repos to be requested to be created. And committers, they are per repo.
Again, the committers will come into picture only if it's accepted as a project, right? As of now, it's just a seed code request. I mean, seed code acceptance request.
Yeah, and again, the way we organize projects is you're a committer on a project or you're not. And a project has something to do with a repo or a set of repos that are tied because the committers are the same. So it's actually quite awkward and would be very strange to have a project that has multiple repos where there are different committers in those different repos. Because you can see why, right? So that's actually one of the reasons why you break projects up is so that you can identify committers to repos.
Yep. Okay. So you all have the same set of committers across all the repos of a project?
That's why you create a project or a sub project. Yes.
I think the discussion of committers should come only during the project discussion. If the committers are being identified even at the seed code contribution, then that is breaking the idea of proposing a project, right?
Yeah. So well, meaning that, you know, if and you can do it so that the RIC mm-hmm. platform is an umbrella project and it has sub projects of you know, the UE manager, the Node-B, and so forth.
Okay.
And so, because then those are the committers in those sub projects, you know, and you have an umbrella project called RIC, but that's why you create a project, is so you can identify a set of committers to a repo or set of repos.
Okay. Well, this request is really the committers are per repo.
Right, and again, you understand the problem I'm identifying here. Like I said, I would suggest that the project actually form and create sub-projects within it, right? So that you have an umbrella project that is the RIC platform or the RIC app. And when you get to that, and then you have sub-projects that are the MC and the ML, or again, the different. Repos identified here, since you've got different committers per repo.
Right. Okay. We can certainly do that. From the original Linux Foundation discovery document, they are asking for a set of committers per repo. And in that table, repos, there's a one-to-many relationship between a project and a repo.
Right. And the folks in infra, you know, the folks in the IT side, they don't know about projects. So they're just asking for, I'm telling you, you'll have a harder time coordinating what you're doing if it's this way, right? You want a command and control structure where the committers are, you know, overseeing some activity within the project, and that activity is consistent.
Yes, I mean, the committers, they overseeing the code contribution activities within the repo that the committer being a committer of. Now, whether we mapped each repo to a sub project, I guess we haven't really addressed that. I don't know what's. I hope this issue is addressed within each project. I don't know if that's a proper way to structure this.
Well, and again, I think because this is generally structure of the way we're going to be doing repos and the relationship with projects, it's probably something the TOC should have an understanding of and agree.
Right. Right. So within this, I mean, these three repos are they are probably they're under the RIC platform project. And with these two, when the RIC application project is being proposed, they will likely be under that project. For INSPIRE's contribution, you know, there's likely another project overseeing those three repos.
Yeah, I think we're stuck in this, Phil. We're stuck in a little bit in this. We're gathering seed code, so people are putting it in the way that they're, you know, we're getting it from different companies, and our next step is to map that to projects that we approve. But we don't know how to map it unless we can get the code to somewhere where everybody can see it and, you know, kind of make an evaluation. So how do we cross that barrier of...
Well, and you go one way or the other, right? I mean, you could make the statement that, you know, the code that's in the RIC platform, the committers there, you know, yes, some had, you know, some did the original creation of the seed code or not, but if you're in that code base, do you need to have a pretty good understanding of how all the pieces fit? Right? And if the answer is no, then you should really create sub-projects that have different committers. If the answer is yes, you should really understand how it all is put together, then they should just all be committers across all of those three repos, and you don't break it up.
Right.
So I understand where the code's coming from, but again, look 6 months or a year out. Right? Are people in the EU manager going to need to know about the Enode B MIB? Right? And if the answer is yes, then just give them a commit to everything. And you have a project that has multiple repos, and that's fine. Right. But the committers can commit to anything.
But here's, I think you're missing, I think, the point that I was trying to make. Right now, this is just from, you know, Radisys is putting their code in. Nokia is putting their code in. AT&T is putting their code in. Once this becomes a project, then the contributor pool broadens to exactly what you're saying. But right now, to get their code in, I need a couple of people to put their code in, the permission to put their code in so that we can evaluate it to move it to a project. But most of this right now, contribution, is not broadly by a project, but specific by a company who's contributing that code. And so how do I give them permission to put the code in and keep it in the seed code space until we figure out if it should be moved to a project and then follow what you're describing in the project form?
Okay. And that's a bit different. So... what level of access and work do you plan on doing with this code? Are you looking at it, or are you running it, or are you integrating it with something else and running it in as part of that evaluation? What are you planning on doing with this code in that evaluation phase?
I believe the general population will be just looking at it. Right, because by themselves, they don't always perform functions. I you know, there's some that may have a little more standalone function that you could download it and do something, but it's mostly looking at it, except for the people who contribute it, right? They're, in many cases, they're still working on that code, it, you know, during this window, and they want to keep it current. So that's the recommendation. We only have 3 minutes left. So, for...
Yeah, because I agree. 3 minutes left, and this is probably a little bit longer of a discussion. Because I mean, if they're still actively working on it, do you think they're really going to work on it out of a public repo if they've been doing it internally? And if not, then it's probably, and if they had, you know, intended on open sourcing this long ago, then it's probably sitting over in GitHub, and everybody has access to see it anyway. What we've done in the past here is we create basically a repo called Sandbox or something along those lines. And we just have different directories created so that folks can put code in there to be looked at. And again, and I guess that's what I'm saying is how much effort do we expect to go through with this code to the point of it being accepted or not?
All right, Lejing, how important is this vote for today, I guess, because we're not going to get clarified.
Yeah, so I heard that for Inspur, for example, they do have a deadline from the ORAN Alliance side. Also probably Redis's as well. So I really need to hear from them how important this, how fast we need to do this.
Well, can you work with Phil offline and come with a recommendation on how to do this, and then we'll do an email approval?
Okay.
But I would like you and Phil to make sure you're both on the same page on how we would do this. Is that fair, Phil?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. All right. 1 minute left. We have one item that was added to the new agenda that I'll take and I'll just mention. Was Lejing, you're going to release? Okay, I'm going to go back. So we're... Last item was proposing a list of projects. So we approved the near real-time RIC, but there's a series of other projects that we eventually have to create, like integration and test, OANM, the non-real-time RIC, the ODU, the OCU. And so I want to, you know, I'll introduce it now, but next week, what I'd like to do is be able to create the projects so that we can create the JIRA entries for them, and so that we can start working on them as we work through who will be the PTLs and what will be the repo structure for the projects. But without being able to put the projects in the projects tab, and without being able to create JIRA for the basic projects, and these projects are basically following the ORAN architecture at this point, and we're at the end of the time, but I just think it's important that we create the projects themselves as the intent of what we're trying to work into, and then work to fill out those projects. It'll give us structure for the discussions. Any comments? All right. So next week I will bring a proposal to approve the basic projects. We have a list. And since we're out of time, I'll cut it off here, but I'll make sure we share the list. I think it's attached to the requirements document as well. I'll share that on the spreadsheet and we'll talk about it and try to focus on that for next week. So the two items are focus on the rest of the projects, the requirements document, and start looking at identifying the epics. Any last items before we close the meeting for today? All right. Well, thanks everybody. It's been a long meeting today, but we have some significant progress. I thank everyone for their participation, and Remember, there's the requirements meeting tomorrow, and we'll speak to you next week. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you.